From Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold mystery of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and that you may know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Oh, Father, by your Spirit who hovered over the waters, the deep at the very beginning, hover over our souls. Give us some inkling of how long and wide and how deep your love is. Thank you for pouring out your love, pouring out yourself for us and for your whole creation. We bless you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, did everybody survive the rains yesterday? Welcome to a subtropical climate. I grew up in Houston, so it always feels like home to me when that happens. I want to start with a bit of a pastoral reflection, which is typically where we might end up, and then circle back to the scripture and some of what we've heard here. We're intentionally engaging with some songs and arts from various cultural origins this week. And in our mission statement, the IWS mission statement, one of the five areas of reflection we are committed to pursue and engage in is the missiological one. Missiological, of course, refers to the study of mission. Thinking about mission, talking about mission. And Daryl Guder, about 15 years ago, reintroduced into our vocabulary the word missional, which is a little bit more dynamic, if you will, a little bit more action-oriented. Let's continue thinking about it, talking about it, but let's do it. Let's embody it. Let's let it inhabit us and let the mission continue. And perhaps it might seem a little strange singing songs that come from cultures that that are different from ours, living in that pentatonic scale, which is not where we normally live, all the black notes on the keyboard if you play piano. But I want to cite two or three instances where this really does help motivate us and is catalytic in moving us towards mission. Go back to the presidential address on Wednesday that Jim made, and he talked about that small congregation where Erica was worshiping and in the context of which she was married. And they talked about that worship service where songs were sung in Swahili, in Creole, and in Hindi. And that little group of people, I'm guessing mostly Anglo, light skin color, not used to living in the pentatonic scale, they begin to feel a kinship with cultures that they may never have visited, may never have tasted, may never have encountered. And they began to get a sense of where things are all going to end up in the revelation of John, where every tribe and every nation are gathered around the throne. Every language, every tongue. I've loved it when Paul Neely began bringing some of these songs into our worship context here. And for the last 6 years, I pastored a house church. First met in someone else's home, then it met in ours. And I began to take some of these songs back to our little white bread community. I remember how the first Sunday, Paul, that we sang that West African Kyrie that's got the wonderful blue note in it, a great jazz moment in a Lord Have Mercy. And I remember how it grabbed hold of our little congregation. And all of a sudden, we felt one with people on a continent very far away. It helped change the way we prayed. It helped change the way we gave. It broadened our horizon. The term Missio Dei has been in use in the last number of years, and it's still in pretty vigorous use in theological dialogue, the mission of God or the sending of God. I was surprised to learn that this is relatively new in dialogue, that theological term is relatively new. The earliest mention I could find of it was in the 1930s. And then it began to get kicked around more in the 1950s. And now, anytime we're talking about mission, we stop thinking so much about the mission of the church, but we think about the mission of God and then how that impacts the church. I want to read a Jürgen Moltmann quote that I think is just absolutely amazing. It's not that the church has a mission of salvation to fulfill in the world. It's the mission of the Son and the Spirit through the Father that includes the church. It's something way bigger than we are. It's not a mandate we've been given. It's something we have been baptized, the one to whom we've been baptized. It's what he's doing. It's his heart. It's his mission. It's his heart sound. It's that deeper note in the heart of God that we have been swept up into. This is something way bigger than we are. Daryl Guter, who reintroduced the term missional into our conversation about 15 years ago in a book called The Missional Church, says this, we have come to see that mission is not merely an activity of the church. Rather, mission is the result of God's initiative rooted in God's purposes to restore and heal creation. His initiative, his heart, God's heart, to restore and heal the entire created order. It's Let's come back to the scripture in Ephesians 3, which was so powerfully read this morning. Thank you so much, Jeff Barker, and all of your colleagues that bring us the scripture so powerfully in these contexts that help us get swept up into the truth that's in them, that opens it up for us. Depending on which translation you read, it talks about the manifold wisdom of God, the wisdom of God in all its rich variety being revealed to the heavenly order, the principalities and powers, the angelic order. Guys, this is cosmic. I don't know any other word to use. It's as much about the angelic order as it is about us. This has been going on in the heart and mind of God since way before the dawn of creation that we talk about, the creation that we participate in. It's as much about the principalities and powers as it's about us. It's not science. It's not even science fiction. It is a redemptive cosmology. And the rich variety is the key. Diversity in unity. Unity in diversity. Three in one. One in three. Reflected in humankind, created in all its diversity, being gathered up into one in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God yearns for. It's what God has paid for. And it's what His Holy Spirit is energizing us to be and to do.